From early on, my contact with the outside world was through a deaf and dumb chairwoman who came to the hospital to scrub out the ward once a week. She brought in and took out letters for me, of course, unknown to anyone. Even though she couldn't hear or speak, her eyes told me that she was glorying in doing this service for me. As time wore on, the idea of escape was very much in my mind. News was brought to me by my deaf and dumb friend that the Flemings of Tralee had a contract to paint the hospital wards. One of his men told me to be ready 4 or 5 days later and to be prepared. I'd been a prisoner at this stage for about 6 weeks. I asked for a screen to be put around the bed, as was usual when there was a call of nature for the bedpan. I got out of the bed for the first time in the hope that I would be able to walk. And to my horror, I found that I couldn't even stand, not to mind walking. I collapsed on the floor and had to make an almighty effort to get back into that bed again, which I did without anyone being the wiser. The plan: a set of dungarees with paint, pot and brush be brought into me, and when the men were finished their day's work in the ward, I would have a try at leaving with them. It was a heartbreak, but also a consolation to find that someone was prepared to take a risk for my sake. As already told, I was the only prisoner in the hospital, as it was intended for their own wounded. The nearest prison hospital was in Cork City, and on at least 2 occasions, I was prepared to go there. On each occasion that the attempt was made, my condition was so serious that their medical attendant objected and told them that I would probably die on the journey. This was the reason I was allowed to remain in the Tralee Hospital so long. If another attempt at rescue had to be made, it would have to be made quickly.